Well, I've been away for quite a while with Christmas break, and then I was on a pilgrimage in the Holy Land with all the deacons from Mount St. Mary's in early January, so it feels like it's been a month and a half, 2 months or something since I've seen you all. It's great to be back. I hope you had a blessed Christmas and New Year. I certainly did, and I've been praying for all of you over the break, and especially when I was in the Holy Land. So at each of the sites you'd visit, I'd pray for all the people of Our Lady of Hope. The question before us today is, what makes a man drop everything and change his entire way of life? Because that's exactly what the apostles do today. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are at their ordinary work. They're fishing. I'm sure it was a day just like many other days they had gone through, and they didn't wake up expecting anything exciting to happen. And yet Christ walks by, and he speaks a few words to them, and in moments, everything had changed in their lives because they had encountered God made man. And I always like to think about what it must have been like for them in those few moments, because there had to be some sort of profound experience happening. Their hearts must have been burning within them, because here at last was the one they had desired it, maybe without even knowing it. All of their longings for goodness and beauty and truth, for something larger than themselves, they found to be totally satisfied in just a few words from Christ. And that they didn't even understand exactly who Christ was. Throughout the rest of the Gospels, they're continually misunderstanding him and learning new things about him. Yet despite their lack of understanding, they had this deep conviction that he was worth following. And so they followed. They left everything behind, families and friends, successful businesses, their income as fishermen, everything they had known, they were willing to put behind them for the sake of Christ. In exchange, the apostles are promised they will become fishers of men, which I think is an apt analogy, probably why our Lord used it, because fishermen bring fish out of the water, and underwater it's murky and kind of hard to see things. And the fish are pulled up into the light, where there's the bright sunlight and it is easy to see things. But this process isn't exactly pleasant for the fish, because the only world they know, the only way they know to live, is in the darkness down below. And when they get pulled into the light, they suffer and they feel pain. Well, mankind, too, is being drawn from the darkness into the light, from the life of sin, which is fundamentally self-centered, to the life of love, which is fundamentally centered on the other. And that process of learning how to live in a different way can be painful, because it means we have to die to ourselves, but that death results in new life within us. And throughout the gospel, the apostles are having to learn this lesson over and over again to understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do. They were devout Jews, so they were expecting a Messiah who would come and expel all of Israel's enemies and establish a Jewish nation which would rule the world. It would be, instead of the Roman Empire, we'd be talking about the Jewish Empire in our history books. But that's not what happened, because our Lord was not a political activist. He wasn't a social worker or a culture warrior or a military leader. He is God, and he became man so that man could know him. Something far more important than any earthly empire. And to obey the command to follow me is to realize that God has the priority, not us. We can't try to cram God into our way of thinking and our way of living, to project our expectations and desires upon God. Instead, we have to conform our lives to him. In other words, we must recognize that God is God and we are not. Then, if we have that attitude, God can act powerfully in our lives. We see this with the apostles. As they learn who Christ is and how to live as how he wants them to live, they are then able to spread that knowledge throughout the whole world. They do great works of power, especially in the Acts of the Apostles. They heal the sick, they raise the dead, they exorcise demons. It's incredible. And now we don't see this same sort of material miracles to the same degree nowadays, but there are still miracles of grace that occur on a daily basis. Men and women who come to believe in God who previously rejected him. men and women who have been set free from sins that have held them in chains for years, men and women who have learned how to forgive and begin to heal from the wounds they carry from those who have harmed them. In short, conversion is still occurring, and conversion is the most profound miracle. If we find that God seems to be absent from our lives, if we're not undergoing this process of conversion within ourselves, then we need to return to the basics and recognize that our disposition affects how Christ is able to work in our lives. We see this even during Christ's own life. He encountered all sorts of people, and they had all sorts of reactions to him. Some became ardent followers, faithful disciples. Some became ardent enemies who would end up killing him. But all of those people encountered the same Christ. It wasn't as if he changed. What differed was their attitudes towards him. Those who were willing to let go of their illusions of wisdom and control found the one who they were made for. But those who clung to their pride found a radical who threatened everything they believed in. We always have to approach God with humility so that he can work in our hearts. It's a good habit to pray for guidance and understanding, to acknowledge that we don't have all the answers and we do need help on a daily basis. And that's exactly what the psalm from today is doing. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. As our Lord tells us, the kingdom of God is at hand, but we can only enter it by letting go, by letting Christ be the focus of our lives, by letting our pride die. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are great examples of doing just that. They were willing to put Jesus Christ ahead of everything else. And I pray that they may pray for us that we can follow him as well.